A lot of things taking place. I believe that the coming of the Lord is close at hand. You might say, well, what makes you believe that the coming of the Lord is at hand? I've read this to you many times, but it says here in John's writing, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says, for the time is at hand. The revelation of Jesus Christ, for the time is at hand. Someone would say, well, surely, Brother Pike, you don't believe that that is the coming of the Lord. Well, I guess I do. Then the question arises, where do you find Bible for that? Well, first of all, it sounds pretty convincing to me when you say the time is at hand. But then there's something that's even stronger than that as to the revelation. And that is where Jesus saw Peter and him. They had toiled all night long and they'd taken nothing. And in the morning he cried out and he said, children, do you have any food or bread or fish or have you caught anything? And said, no. He said, well, just cast your net on the right side or the other side and said, you'll be all right. And about 153 fish, I believe the Bible records, the net wasn't broken. They pulled them in. They brought them to shore. And Jesus said, come and dine. And he said to Peter, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes. He said, well, feed my lamb. But he said to Peter again, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, yes. He said, feed my sheep. And then the third time he said to Peter, he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than all of these? And Peter said, Lord, said, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He said, come and follow me, Peter. So Peter started off to follow him. And the disciple that Jesus loved had said, before that they got to the shore, said, that's the Lord calling to us. So Jesus said, Peter, follow me. Peter started to follow him, and then he turned around and he said, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said, if he tarry till I come, what's that to you? Follow me. And the saying went about that John wasn't going to die till the Lord come. But the Lord didn't tell him that. He didn't say, you'll tarry, you know, until the Lord returns. He just said, until I come. He did say that, didn't he? And there's no record where John ever tarried till he come, except when he saw him in the midst of the candlesticks in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Let's give the Lord a hand. So then, when the revelation came, the Bible said the time is at hand. Why? Because Jesus said he would tarry till he come. And did he come? He come. How did he come? In the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, I want to read just a little bit over here in the book of Daniel. I talked with you this morning a little bit concerning this, but I didn't elaborate a whole lot on it, and may not tonight, but I'd love to at least read it that you would be acquainted with it. The old king had a dream down in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream, and it troubled his spirit, and he couldn't sleep. So the king, he commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans. He wanted somebody to show him what the dream was. And, of course, none of them couldn't show him. So it upset the king. And he told them that if they didn't do it, he'd make their house a dunghill. And they said, well, just give us a little time. So just tell us the dream. He said, I don't remember the dream. He said, it's gone from me. So that's what I want you to do, is tell me the dream and the interpretation. And they said, oh, my king, no king ever asked this of wise men. But it upset the king because he perceived by that they didn't know nothing. And um, They said, and it is a rare thing that the king requireth. But after they had had all the opportunity to do what they're going to do and couldn't do anything, they said, there's none other king that can show this to you except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Now right there is something for us to consider. Everybody has a God. Is that right? Everybody has a God. The Chinese have a God. You know, there's the God Confucius. And then the Muslims, they have a God. They have Ali. And then the Jews have a God, and his name is Moses. And we have a God, and his name is Jesus. Everybody has a God. And here it speaks of gods in the plural. Said, for this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arar, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arar, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arar made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king of the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercy of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and sitteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hath made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. If you'll notice, he says, and God gives wisdom to the wise. Or that is, he's saying that those that are wise got their wisdom from God, and knowledge to them that know understanding. Or that is, them that have understanding, when you check it out, they got their knowledge from God. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arar, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king. I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arar brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto thee the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Now Daniel said, they cannot show it to you. But he said, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter, that he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. The great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. Now notice the humility of Daniel. He said, this wisdom is not given unto me that I am to appear more wise than anybody else. He said, it is not as for me, and yet it was for him to the extent that it was to save his life. But he said, it's not for me. He said, but the interpretation is for them that has given you this. That is back to the Spirit. If you'll notice, he also said, your thoughts came into your mind. You know, remember how that I've told you that God speaks to you through thoughts. It is thoughts that come to you, and I teach you about the three minds, how that one mind is of God, and one mind is of man, and one mind is of Satan or angels. And he said here, thy thoughts came into thy mind. Then it was a vision. See, it was thoughts that was from God. It wasn't the king's thoughts. It wasn't somebody else's thoughts. It was God's thoughts. So he said here, the image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron, and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And whosoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given unto thine hand, and made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces, and subdueth all these things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God of heaven hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odor unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. If you'll notice here, Nebuchadnezzar goes on to make an image of gold. And this image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, he set it up in the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. If you'll notice, he worshiped Daniel. He fell down before Daniel and worshiped Daniel. And then he turned and made an image that has the number 666, which proves what we said about this thing coming to pass as to bringing in the Antichrist. If you'll notice, he also said here that these kingdoms will not be able to come together. Though they will attempt to come together, they will not come together, for he said it will not be one kingdom, but two kingdoms. Now, if two kingdoms come together, then it is no more two kingdoms, it is one kingdom. But he said here, said it would not be one kingdom. He said two kingdoms would try to come together. They'll try to come together, but he said that they won't be able to come together. He said there will be one of these kingdoms that will not be as strong as the other kingdom. And he said the kingdom of iron, this is the one he said was going to have the preeminence. Now, this is what I was speaking of this morning. See, the kingdom of iron goes back to the old iron chariots, the gladiators, all of these things that was in Rome, which is now America. And so then America is the powers of Catholicism. And this power of Catholicism, which is iron, it is stronger than the clay, which is of Russia. Russia is not the nation that America is. Though they try to project themselves as a great, mighty nation that can shake the earth and that can take over, it is the true fact that they are not as powerful as America. They cannot take over because they don't have the power to take over. But it is also true at the same time, though they cannot do that, Marx's teaching of communism is preordained to swallow up the world. And it's moving all over the world, and everywhere it's went, it has been so powerful as to swallow up things. And even though America appeared to resist it, yet it's a true fact that a few days ago, the papers carried the picture of the communistic flag flying in America. So communism swallowed up America just like it has in any other place. Now you would dispute that and you'd say, no, Brother Pike, it hasn't swallowed me up. But you've got to remember that the legislative powers of Washington is your head and they are your strength so far as the ecclesiastical bond and control, and you have to do whatever they say. Now you say, well, I won't do it, but you have done it. And not only have you done it, but you will do it, because the mark of the beast, which goes back to communism, and Mark, which brought it in, is going to swallow up the world. And going back to that, everyone is going under the mark of the beast, which is the powers of communism. They're going under that. So it is a derivative from a human mind, a concept, a thing that's been gendered of a human mind and that has been put forth by the human mind. And this, of course, is why the Bible refers to it as a beast. The origin or the origination of it is from the beast side of life. It's a power of antitype with an antichrist, that it might be symbolic of the true all thing common government with Jesus at the head of it. So then we can see here that they're not going to be able to mix, and one power is going to be stronger than the other power, and that's the power of iron. It's going to rule. That's why Mr. Gorbachev has submitted to Mr. Reagan to the extent of this peace pact sort of a thing, because Mr. Reagan is one that rules with a rod of iron. And though you may not believe it, Mr. Reagan would hit Russia just as quick as he would hit any other nation. You say, well, I think Mr. Reagan has just picked on the little nations. I agree that he has. He has struck at the little nations, though the little nations has caused the trouble so that America would strike, because they just kept on causing trouble and killing people. But Mr. Reagan, I can assure you, he's the type fellow that he would hit Russia just as quick as he would hit any other nation. If Mr. Reagan ever says to Gorbachev, I'm coming over, I'll guarantee you he's a man like Mr. Roosevelt was, and just as sure as you breathe your breath, he'll drop bombs on the heads of the Russian people. He's just that kind of a man. But the thing is, Mr. Gorbachev knows this. He's already seen that he's this type fella, so he doesn't want any trouble with Mr. Reagan. And so then they're trying to get together. They're trying to get together, but the clay and the iron will not mix. There's no way to mix communism with capitalism. It'll never mix. Now you say, Brother Pike, you just said it was taking over. It is taking over. You just said, but it can't mix. It can't mix. It can't mix. You say, well, what are you speaking of? I'm saying that capitalism will become nothing. It'll fade away into nothing. And the powers of communism will take over, and it won't have nothing to do with the clay, just like it went down into China and took over and become their government down there. See, we're referring to Russia as clay, not as communism as clay. Communism is something that came from Marx, and it's something that somebody came up with that swept into Russia. And it took Russia, and it came into China, and it took China, and now it's coming to America, and it will take America. So then what will be left if capitalism falls? Capitalism's already failed. It's not a matter of capitalism falling. Capitalism has already failed. I noticed in the paper today a budget of $606 billion, was it? I pointed out to my wife. See, there is no possible way to meet the budget of the great United States. And there's no way to pay and do away with the deficit. There is no way. See, it is utterly impossible to ever catch up the debtness or the indebtedness of the United States. We're taxed so much right now that we can't hardly breathe, as we would say, so far as getting ahead. If this is the great capitalist government, why isn't some of you capitalizing? If we're under a capitalist government, and this is the capitalist government, why can't I capitalize? Why can't you capitalize? There's only one that's capitalizing that I know of, and that's the IRS or the government. They're doing all the capitalizing, and you're doing all the giving and all the submitting. And they're the capitalists, and they are the ones that's becoming preeminent and lifting themselves up. No government by the people and for the people. There is no government such as that in the United States. We're just foolish. We sat foolishly believing that that's what we have. We have had a government of the people, for the people, and by the people from the time that Washington established it and when Mr. Lincoln came along and helped to substantiate the thing. But folks, in the day that we're living in, that's some kind of a joke. There's no such thing as having a government for the people, as it is said. There was a government like that. There was leadership like that. There was people like Washington, people like Lincoln, and great men that followed, some of them that is not as noted as Mr. Lincoln or Washington, but they're still great statesmen, and they did try to keep a government for the people, of the people, and by the people. But in the day that we're living in, that's lost. That's in the past. That's gone. Nobody is trying to do that anymore. They can't even meet the national indebtedness, let alone to establish a government of capitalism that would give you a chance to capitalize. Somebody says, well, I still believe it's capitalism, Brother Pike. I capitalize. I've got my home, and I've got my car, and I've got this, and I've got that. No, you haven't. You don't have any of it. You can't prove to me that you got any of it. The government owns every bit of it. We're right here in this county of Walton County, and you can't own anything right here. They've got taxes on it, and you pay them continually. Let me tell you, folks, years ago you could buy a home and nobody messed with it. You bought a piece of ground and nobody messed with it. That's why they had the little thing that you read about in history over there when they went over to the ship and overthrowed everything that was trying to do in that time, and when they pulled away from the old country and they done away with taxes, and nobody was taxed.
And gradually the thing has come back. And now you can't own a home, and now you can't own any land, and now you can't own a car. You got to pay taxes on the car. You got to buy tags for the car. You got to have license for the car. You've got to have all of these things. There is no such thing as you owning anything as being a capitalist. There is no capitalist government. It is gone. What is it then, Brother Pike? It is a communistic government. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, don't you dare say that. I said it is a communistic government. Can you prove that it's communistic? I can prove that it's communistic. What is a communistic government? Go back and search it out and you'll find out that the government owns everything. And that's the way it is in America. They've gradually slipped in, and today they own everything. And all God is doing is letting them fly the communistic flag to let you know that's the final essence of it. That's the results of it. They've taken over, and you're under a communistic power. I remember a Jew many years ago. He spoke to me. He was a Russian Jew. We still got this recording. Remember, Brother Taylor? He was a Russian Jew, and he predicted that this would happen. He said, Brother Pike, I know that it will happen. He said, because my dad was one of the richest men among thousands and thousands of people. And he spoke, I believe he made the statement that they had 11 acres just for a flower garden. And he said, I saw communists come in. I saw it work its underbinding scheme and said, it continued to do that until one morning from the radio, they began to announce that the country was now under communistic power. That is, Russia had failed under the mighty Marx communistic teachings, and Russia was then a prey of communistic power. He said, I saw this happen. He said, and I've related the story to you, I'll say a little more about it. He said, I was a hopeless cripple. He said, I lived in a mansion and marble floors and the finest that you could have. And said, my daddy was exceedingly rich and had spent thousands upon thousands of dollars to get me healed. Had never succeeded. Couldn't find a doctor that could do me any good. But he said, we lived in Russia. He said, and I saw this thing happen. He said, and I saw, Brother Pike, and I heard. And he said, overnight, we become communists. He said, overnight, communism took over. He said, they began to ring out over the radios, you're now under communistic power. No fight, no nothing. Said it had eased in, seized upon us, and took control. And nobody knew it. See, Russian. We say them old communist people over there. Folks, let me tell you something. Them's people just like you and I are people. And God said to Brother Pike and every other minister, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They were people just exactly like you and I are people. And they fell prey to the powers of communism. And even today, they've got a president over there. And Gorbachev is not the president, but he's the head of the communistic party that controls the thing. Over here, he meets with our president. Why didn't Mr. Reagan meet with their president? Because communism has control, not the president. So then you can see the thing that's happening. And this man made the statement. He said, Brother Pike, he visited in our home. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, I went through an awful ordeal. He said, there I was in the home. He said, I saw my daddy subdued. They took over. He said, they had communistic meetings in our big home or in our mansion. And my dad finally was part of it. He said, and I was tore up because they had seized upon everything. And now my dad was part of their plotting. He said, and he remembered one night that he had come down the stairs, worked his way down the stairs. He said his bedroom was upstairs. How he said he came down the stairs, slid around on the marble floor, got over beside the great big sliding doors or whatever there was in the mansion. He said, and he listened as they made their plots there in their fine home, and went away weeping, and went upstairs. And he told how that during the time of this, that an Assembly of God missionary, he and his wife had got stranded somehow over there and was kind of fleeing for their life, And one morning, he said, we found them in the flower garden. Now, he said they were trying to eat something out of the flower garden, whatever it was. When they found them, they were on starvation. Said, and the mother tenderly and kindly took them in and had them there in the home. And he said, I'll never forget. Said, every time that we came to the table to sit down to eat, he said, this woman was always talking to me. Said she'd sit there looking at me and tell me about God and the great power of healing that God had. And said, this just rang in my ears all the time until one day, he said, I was weeping, and it was about the time that he had seen this that night. Said, I was weeping and calling on God. And he said, all of a sudden, being so broke up, he said, something struck me. And my faith went up to God, and he said, God instantaneously healed me from the top of my head to my feet, just like you see me. And folks, he was just as much whole as you and I are, walking and talking and traveling and carrying the gospel. He said, and I was healed, and said, when my dad came into my room checking on me and saw me like this, said, my daddy, he just about went wild the way he described it. Said when he saw that and realized the money that he had spent and all of his efforts and nothing had made me any better, and he saw me whole, said he broke down. Said he had one of these high hats. He took the thing off, and he apparently fell over the boy or fell there and started to cry, and said, son, said, I'll serve a God like that. He said, and when this happened, he said, that turned the communist powers against my father. He said, and they took everything that we had. He said, and for about 36 hours after I escaped their hand, I stayed in a graveyard praying and praying and praying. And he said, the last time that I saw my dad and mother, they had taken my dad and taken my mother and put their eyes out. And said they had them lined up before a firing squad. Said prior to this, they had taken me and stripped me down and poured icy water over me in zero weather. But he said, I managed to escape. And he said, when I saw my dad, said, I remember the words that my dad said. Said he spoke out and said, Johnny boy, don't ever deny Jesus. And he said, the guns began to ring out, and there they killed the mother and daddy. He said that was the last word that he ever heard from him. And he said that when he escaped, he said that since that time, he tried to carry the gospel and travel and tell people about this hideous thing. He said, but Brother Pike, he said, I saw this. He said, when they took over, he said that they took people and they lined people up. And these people, he said, was lined up in a line, and a pot of boiling oil was put over here. And he said, and a ramp run down to it. And he said, and then they put up these writings up here that you were to either praise the great leader of Russia or you was to praise God. You was to deny the one and get your freedom, or you was to go into the pot of oil. So he said, I saw this. He said, they led the people in a row. And he said, every one of them came up to this. He said, and looked at this. Now we talk about Russian people and them old Russians. He said, I saw them, Brother Pike, come up to this on the ramp. He said, and they would look over here and see the picture of Stalin. He said, and they would turn away and look over here at Jesus. Or look in this direction and begin to sing the song, I believe that Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than the snow. And one by one, he said, I never saw one but what they didn't do that and drop into the boiling pot of oil. He said, and little babies, he said, I saw them take little children. He said, and they took these little children and they tried to make them to worship Stalin, or tried to make them turn to this thing. And he said the little children refused to do it, and they took them off and come back with a platter full of heads to the mothers and daddies. He said, and he found out that the children would not deny Jesus, those that were old enough to know how to worship the Lord. I'm talking about Russians now. I'm talking about people that's supposed to be them old communist folks. See, this horrible, hideous thing, it took place. How could it take place? Because it was the power of dictators. It was the power of dictators. It was something that was ecclesiastical, just like your people here in the United States. These people in the United States, I spoke of it this morning. How does the judge sit on the seat of judgment and take a mother's little, take a little one out of the arms and the mother crying and they take it away? There, right here in Monroe, there's been numbers of times that they took children away from the parents. They never did that before. I remember when I was a boy and went to the movies and saw the newsreels where Hitler did this and where the people of that country did over there did this. Nobody dared to do that in America. A man would blow your head off if you bothered his little ones. And the Lord stand right behind him and help him blow your head off. But now, what do? They come and get your children. They say they go to school, whether you like it or not. They teach them what they want to teach them. They decide the curriculum. You don't do anything about it. They say you pay taxes and they go up on the taxes whenever they get ready. And you don't do anything about it. They say you do this and this and your son goes to prison and you don't do anything about it. Your children go to correctional institutions just like the movies that I saw in the newsreel when I was a little boy. See, the very same thing. And somebody said, well, Brother Pike, there's one thing about it. I'll never take the mark of the beast. You'll take it just like you've done all the rest. When they bring the mark of the beast and they say you don't eat, you don't get anything, you don't work, you don't buy, unless you take this mark, you'll take that mark. You'll do it just exactly like you've done the other things. See, because the police will come out, the sheriff will come out, the judge will come out. They'll make sure that you take it. So we're gradually being forced under the mark of the beast. Under the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? It's Cain's lineage. It's Cain's lineage. It's the old beast that started in the garden. When the Bible said God put a mark upon him and drove him out with the beast. As it was in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, God drove him out with the beast till his hair grew out like feathers and his fingernails like bird claws. He lost his mind and stayed out there till God said, you'll give the glory to God. And when he came back and restored him, Nebuchadnezzar didn't walk around anymore saying, look what I've done. America's walked around too long talking about what they've done in their colleges and all these great things. See, like the head of gold, it's been too much praise to the wrong side of life. Praising the ball games, praising the celebrities, praising the papacy of Rome, praising the president, praising everybody that's enslaving us and leading us to our death. See, and God is tired of it. And one day God smote Nebuchadnezzar and took him down. And that's what he's about to do to the leadership of America. So then, this man said, I saw this, Brother Pike. I saw this happen. And I spoke of Johnny Lee, or one of them, that made the statement that they saw when communists took over. Said they took and pulled people's tongues out as far as they could get it and nailed them to the floor. The Bible said the gossiping tongue shall be rooted out. Nailed it to the floor and they strangled to death on their own blood. They took priests and they buried them alive when they were having their conflict. And they took and dug trenches. And it was said that he saw them put the men down into the trenches, run a wire through their hand to line them up and keep them all together, dig the big ditch or the trench, and then go along and shove them into the ditches, and then cover them up with dirt up to here. Nothing but the head showing. And then the Caesars of Russia on their horses broke loose and trampled their brains out with the horses. Cruel, wretched, mean people. You say, now, that's the Russians. No, that ain't the Russians. That's the devil. That's the devil. The Bible said God has prepared all. He has fashioned all men's hearts alike. Or prepared all men's hearts in one direction, and that's to seek after God. But the devil has taken them over. The devil has taken Russia over. The devil has taken the different parts of the world over. And somebody would say, Brother Pike, one good thing about America, she's religious America. I agree with you. She's religious hypocrite America. America's one of the biggest hypocrites it's ever been. People in the foreign countries that don't know about God is not in the condition America's in. God said, I'm with it, you are hot or cold. People in America are religious hypocrites. They don't serve God. You can't hardly find anybody in America serving God. Brother Branham made the statement that out of Atlanta, Georgia, up here, the great city, there might be just four or five people being that would actually be saved out of Atlanta, Georgia. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you and I here at Bethlehem couldn't even get to first base, as we say. But because of His grace, and we do make a sincere effort, then God helps us. And folks, everywhere in the world, whether it's the United States of America, or whether it's Russia, or Germany, or England, or any other place, where they make a sincere effort to God, God saves them. But with their religious hypocrisy, they're like the Pharisees and the scribes, and God frowns on them, and He doesn't like it at all. And He'll destroy the whole thing. He says, you're vomit. Because you've come far enough out of the world to be in my house, but yet you're lukewarm and I've spewed you out of my mouth, which is vomit. All of my tables are filled with vomit. So then you can see the religious affairs, Laodicea, the lukewarm vomit age. So having a name that they live and yet they're dead, their steeples reaching way up, plenty of money, all kind of things, all kind of participations in sports, and whatever it might be, but still they're dead. What is it? It's communism. Communism has moved in. Communism has moved in. What is a communistic government? A communistic government is just exactly like I said, where the government has got control of everything. See, it's got control of everything. That means that there is something going on. It is represented as to a communistic thing, likened unto clay. And then where is capitalism? It's gone. It's swallowed up. Then what other power is there, Brother Pike? The powers of Catholicism. That is the iron. And that's the part that won't never mix. Because the papacy of Rome intends to rule the world. It intends to rule the world, and it's going to do it by a religious thing. And that isn't going to mix with the communist policy. That isn't going to mix with the communist policy at all. Because the communist policy doesn't fit there. The only thing is that it's going along together to try to mix so that the beast can carry the great whore that sits upon many waters. And then at the end, the Bible says these 10 kings that have given their kingdom to the beast shall utterly burn their flesh, his flesh, the papacy. And the Roman powers and his flesh, the Antichrist, shall utterly burn it with fire. All of it. Russia. The cities of the nations fail. The Russian cities crumble to the ground. The American cities crumble to the ground. God destroyed all of them. According to the Bible, God destroyed all of them. Because the little stone was hewed out of the mountain. Came rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of the world. And just as soon as Mr. Antichrist raises his head up to rule with a rod of iron, then that's the day that all of the rest of the governments, including the communistic government, the capitalistic government, whatever it might be, is going to go down. Because the Bible says that Antichrist will have a religion of his own and that he will have his own way of doing things. But the communistic government has to mix with this religious thing until they can take over the world. And then Antichrist will make himself God and not only rule all nations. The Bible said all of the nations of the world, all nationalities, all creeds, all colors, everybody went under the rule and had to take the mark of the beast. So then all of the nations went under this power. And the Bible said whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life wandered after the beast. So then it's very obvious that all of them are going to be taken over by the powers of Antichrist. And as I said this morning, tidings out of the east is going to trouble him because the Jews will not submit, though he will take over Jerusalem. But the Jews will not submit. There will be a part of the Jews that will not submit, and they will be taken away. And 144,000 will be caught up to the Mount, sealed through the tribulation period. And these others that flee away, as we say, having to do with going into the mountain. When Revelation 19 comes in and the Lord Jesus returns, that is the little stone that has been hewed out of the mountains. That is the little stone that has been hewed out of the mountain. And that little stone is going to come down through there, Jesus on a white horse, and all of the saints of God following him. You say, Brother Pike, you mean that we're going to be there? We're going to be there. How can we be there if we're over here? We're not going to be over here. We're going to be with him. We're going to be translated. That's why I say the revelation is the coming of Jesus Christ. The revelation is that which comes after the bride. It comes for the bride. This is God sealing in the bride. I told you today that time is no more. It stopped at Calvary, the fullness of time. God gathered all things in the fullness of time. He took all things. Now the revelation has come. That is Christ. The invisible Christ has suddenly appeared within his temple, whose temples ye are. And the Bible said every image that is not like his, he'll destroy it with the brightness of his coming. So then, Christ is coming into our heart. Christ is taking over. Christ is rapturing the church. Christ is translating the inner man from glory to glory and bringing your angelic being into the presence of the heavenly beings and translating you into heaven. For the Bible said the kingdom of heaven is within you. And that means that Christ is the kingdom of heaven. And Christ within you is the hope of glory. And your spirit is entered into Christ's spirit. For we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Christ said, I in them, Father, and you in me. Or that is to say, I'm swallowed up in Christ, and Christ is swallowed up of God. So then the Spirit hath gone back to God who gave it, and we're buried in a watery grave. We're not in this world. He's chosen us out of the flesh, hid us with Christ and God, whom the heavens have received. And it's been an invisible thing of an invisible God. It's been a spirit God to a spirit church, a spiritual Jew, a spiritual Christ to a spiritual Jew. And the natural Jesus must come to a natural Jew. So then God has done his work. He's still doing his work. He's still sealing the people in, and they're without spot, they're without wrinkle, and they're without blemish. He's sealing them in. They keep themselves. The evil one touches them not. He's bringing them into the knowledge of their Godship. He's bringing them into the mind and knowledge of translation. He's bringing them into the knowledge of God's benefits as to what Christ hath wrought in God for us. And he is bringing us into that wonderful place of acknowledging his son, Jesus. Somebody would say, well, I think Jesus is God, and I just don't see no difference. Well, that's good, but you've got to understand what you're supposed to understand. If there ain't no difference between Jesus and God, the Heavenly Father, then why did Jesus use the terms, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see the Son of God have? And if there's no difference between them, why did Jesus say, I go to my Father because my Father is greater than I? Is God then greater than Jesus if Jesus is God? You see, you misunderstand, you misinterpret. You don't understand the Scriptures. Jesus said you do error not understanding the Scriptures. But I said that to say this, God wants us to understand the Son of God and to love the Son of God and let the Son of God be part of our life and call on the name of the Son of God that he might save us, that he might translate our spirit into the marvelous kingdom of our God. So then we are chosen out of the earth. We're not of the earth. We're not of the world. We come out from the world. We are a separate people. We don't touch the unclean things. We are holy in body, we are holy in spirit, the evil one toucheth us not. God has come back after a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And when I say that, as coming back to the spiritual Jew, as the revelation suddenly appearing within his temple to make all the world come to worship before you and know that he hath loved you, to magnify you and to illuminate you with the radiation of that which shines brighter than the noonday sun. And the church part being your body to be holy, to be changed at the coming of the Lord Jesus, the Thessalonian change, as to that which is Christ upon the white horse, us returning with him. Us returning with him. Oh, he said, well, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean that we are called up, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are called up to be with Christ before the tribulation period. And while they're with Christ, everything that has happened spiritually as to the spiritual Jew, then it begins to be manifested even to the resurrection of the dead. Even to the resurrection of the dead. We pass from death unto life. We're dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. And our resurrection is that of coming up out of the water as a spiritual being that went away to be with God, having passed from death unto life. That is the sinful body of death, for they that are in sin and trespasses are dead while they live. And then this all must come to pass in the natural, and every step of it be made manifest that the world may see it through the tribulation period with a natural God as to a Jesus body and a natural people as to a Jewish nation. So then we see that God is doing something that is phenomenal, and God is doing something that is outstanding. And we see that this government that we speak of as this great image was the government of that day as from Nebuchadnezzar. Because Daniel said, thou art the head of gold. And then came the Medo-Persians as down to the silver. And then came Alexander the Great coming on down to the belly and to the thighs and conquered the world. The great kingdoms, 1, 2, 3, as to the Chaldeans. Coming on down, and then Alexander the Great, which was the Grecians, bringing in the Hellenistic religion. And then the next thing that we find, Daniel speaks of that terrible beast that was different from all the rest, and they're likened to beasts because they are not children of God. They're not sons of God. They are not eternal. And so then when he spoke of the next one, it was a terrible thing, and the Bible said this thing had teeth like iron. And the only thing that we can liken it to is the Roman powers that came in that had those iron maidens with all those nails where that thing would open up like that and it would take its prey and catch it and close in on it and pop those nails through the brain and all through the body and then open up and a little trap door and it fall down into the pit. See, it said it was vicious. It had teeth like iron. And then the next kingdom that we see, there's only one kingdom left. And that kingdom, in that was the kingdom of iron, there was only one kingdom left. And that was the communistic power, which is the clay kingdom. Because it's very obvious that America is still the old Catholic kingdom. It's still the old thing. Still the same thing. There's nothing different in America so far as religious activity, except people that love God. And these people are those that are hewed out of the mount of God. They're the children of Revelation, not the religious flow of them, but them that are true children of God, that are Christians. That is the body of Christ and the body of Jesus. And Jesus is the stone that was hewed out of the mountain. These rise up and take the kingdoms of the world, and they become the kingdoms of our Father and of His Christ, who will reign forever and forever. So it's very obvious that we can see that this brings us to a place to where there's only one kingdom left, and that kingdom is rising up right now, which is the communistic powers, to try to mix with the last kingdom that came as to the dispensational steps of the image, as to the governmental stride, as to the issues of today. The last kingdom, which is the communistic kingdom, is coming up as clay to try to mix with the iron, and they're not going to come together. The great powers are not going to be able to come together. They're going to try to mix, but they're not going to be able to come together. And this is what's going to bring in a divided kingdom, because you can't have two leaders. And Mr. Gorbachev and they that are in Russia, like he told America, he said, you run your country and we'll run our country. So they're not going to be able to get together. They can make all kind of agreements, but you can't have two heads. A two-headed thing is a freak. I brought out a revelation not too long ago of why they were able to operate on one of the heads as of the baby and bring forth one head out of those Siamese twins. It is obvious that we're living in the last days, folks. This is the last days. Everything proves it. And now we've got two flags flying. One, the flag, the rod of iron. and the other flag is the clay, the arm and the sickle. And Mr. Reagan has received at this time another flag that he hasn't flown that says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And that flag is going to win out. They can fly all the flags they want to fly, but that flag is going to win out, and God is going to establish His kingdom. The Bible said in the days of the 10 toes, that little stone was hewed out, and that mountain grew till it filled all the earth, and the kingdom of God was established in the earth. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So this is what it's all about, is just going to Eden and Him writing us there at Eden as to the garden, as to the typical thing of the restoration, as to the millennium. And this is that of going down to the little white house and the things that took place. And this is that of Brother Junior seeing this as being the capital. And this is that of the Mount Vernon being close by. And this is that of the legislative act of the brethren and the things that they've said and determined in their heart to do as to how their form of government for God. You say, that's treason, Brother Pike. No, it's not treason. That's reasoning. Good reasoning. See, the treason was when they did what they did. Every other government is a treason. When you rise up against God, that is a treason. When you rise up against God's word, that's treason. God owns this world, and the Bible said the earth and the world and the fullest stuff belongs to God. If I come over and steal your car over there, aren't you the one that's in trouble? I mean, am I not the one that's in trouble? I had something on my mind when I said that. Am I not the one that's in trouble if I steal your car? I just had it on my mind of something Betty told me today. Some woman made a deal with a man, and I won't call any names, but something about buying a car, and then the man wanted it back because they didn't go through with their deals. And this woman that had bought the car called the police, and the police came out or contacted the lady and found out that the car wasn't in their name but was in the man's name that let them have it, and they wanted it back. And said, the lady said, you went the wrong way. Said, you just got us to get on to you. She thought she was calling him to protect her, and he only protected the man that wanted the car back. You understand what I'm saying? He said, it's not in your name. No matter if you are paying on it, it's still not in your name. You're in trouble. But see, if I go to your house and I take your car, then I'm the one that's in trouble because that's your car. Isn't that right? Doesn't matter how long I keep it. If I keep it 10 years and they find me, I'm still in trouble. So then the Bible says that they have taken the kingdom of God by force. He said they've taken it by force. They've come in like they did in the Old Testament when the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant. And they've took religion and they put it in colleges and they put it in all kind of denominations and they put it in all kind of walks of life as to society, calling God their God and taking God to be their God. But I said it the early part of our message here, everybody has a God. Then isn't God their God, just like He's our God? If God was the God of the Philistines, why didn't the Ark of the Covenant work for Him? Because the Bible said, he that handles the Ark of the Covenant, let him be holy. There's ordinances that goes along with this gospel. Then who is their God? Even Satan, the god of this world, Lucifer. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. I'm of my heavenly father, but you're of your father, the devil. That's your God. See, and they've taken the kingdom by force. The law and the prophets until John, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and men have pressed their way into the kingdom of God, and the Bible said the kingdom of God has suffered violence, even violence of the hand of men, because it has come into the world. And that is to say, when you do it under the church, you do it under God. You do it under the least of these, you do it under God. They've suffered violence at your hand. They've mistreated the people of God. And the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violence has taken it by their IRS force, and by their religious force, and by their governmental constraints of force, and by their law offices of force, and have taken it. You say, how can you prove that? Jesus said, Brother Pike, he didn't use my name, but he spoke of us. He said, pay your taxes. Peter, who are these people taking taxes of? Peter said, strangers. He said, then are the children free. We're on a journey to another country. We're just passing through the land of Esau. We're not supposed to be taxed. If I go over to Germany just to ride through Germany and visit, they're not supposed to tax me. They do it. But it's taxing strangers. See, we're of another city. We're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. So then they're taxing us. They're forcing us. And this, of course, will be brought into the high courts of God as treason and as reproaching His kingdom. They've stolen from God. They've taken the things of God. They are in the act of treason. Capitalism is in the act of treason. Communism is in the act of treason. Catholicism is in the act of treason. And Judaism has been in the act of treason. God said, I built this city. Speaking of Jerusalem, said, I've been grieved ever since you built it. Said, they built it. Ever since you built it. Said, you've been contrary to me. One writer come forth. And he said, there's not a man on earth that doeth good. Not a Jew, not a German, not an American, not a Russian. He said, there is not a man on the earth that doeth good. And the Bible concluded it as saying, there is none good, no, not one. And God has chosen him, even the Lord Jesus Christ, laid upon him the iniquity of us all. In him, the Bible said, the heavenly Father was well pleased. And God hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all, and he was bruised for our transgression, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him by whose stripes we're healed. So then in that day, the Bible said, and not any will be exalted. No man shall save them, and Christ alone shall be exalted. We've come to that day. Christ hath pleased the heavenly Father. So let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, just one mind, and that's the mind of God, to worship Him, to love Him, to enter His gates with thanksgiving, and to come into His courts with praise, to serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Stand with me. I appreciate your attention. I just wanted to bring out a few thoughts as to a confirmation, a little more confirmation. Not detailing a whole lot of things, but a little more confirmation of what I have spoken of in the early morning. I'm your pastor. I'm sure, positively sure, that you could do a whole lot better in getting a pastor. But I'm your pastor. Like some wives tell the husbands, you're stuck with me. You got me. And that's it. Whereas a lot of times it's in the reverse. But I do thank the Lord for my wife. I appreciate it. She's an asset, not a liability. Very precious woman. None good. No, not any. No, not any. All right, let's sing a chorus together, can we? Song we sing so often, I love Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. I love Him, I love Him, all because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation. On Calvary's tree. Little Steve was telling me today that he had read all the Bible except three of the big books and seven of the little books. He did that to win the prize that Sister Betty was giving away. He said, and I ain't going to stop reading, Brother Pike. I hope you won't stop reading. I trust that you won't. Let's sing that again, can we? I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Now the altars are open. Let's sing this together. Every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in God's book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Sing it again. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in God's Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Let's sing Sweep Over My Soul. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Oh, my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Jesus gave her water that was not from the well. Jesus gave her water, she went forth to tell. Came. Singing of the water that was not from the well. Can you sing it again? Jesus gave her water that was not from the well. Jesus gave her water, she went forth to tell. Way singing. She was singing of the water that was not from the well. Lower it down just a little bit. Jesus gave her water that was not from the well. Jesus gave her water and she went forth to tell. She went away, came back, drinking of the water that was not from the well. Jesus gave her water that was not from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She went away, came back, bringing out the water. One more time. Jesus gave her water that was not from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She went away. Come back, you're singing of the water. One more time. Jesus gave her water that was not from the well. Jesus gave her water and she went forth to tell. She went away and she came back. She was drinking of the water. Can you sing that again?
Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water and she went forth to tell. She went away and she came back, oh, drinking of the water that was not from the well.
One more time.
That was not from the well. Jesus gave her water and she went forth to tell. She went away and she came back. She was drinking of the water that wasn't from the well.
Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. God is good to us. He is so good to us.
I praise God because he has the water from the wells of life. You draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. So if you've got joy, then you can bring forth waters of salvation. I try to welcome everybody. I always try to remember to welcome them. And sometimes I just, like this morning, I looked for certain people to be here, and they wasn't here. I thought they had come, but they were visiting. Somebody had come down. I believe it's Brother John's sister, is it, from a certain church, or a brother that pastors some kind of church, Episcopal church in Atlanta, Georgia, I believe it was. Real fine fellow. We've talked to him before. And I had thought that I thought it was Brother Collins' mother, but it wasn't. And tonight, I hope I got this right, she's here. I don't know just where she's at in here, but we certainly appreciate having Brother Collins, Brother Steve's mother with us tonight from out of Texas. Let's give those folks a hand, can we? It's a real privilege to have the mothers, the parents, coming from different states and different places, coming in to be with us. It's a real privilege. We want you to know that we welcome you here. And so often we have mothers and dads that come in from different places, and we have people coming from around the different parts of the world. Just got a call from India a few days ago. Those people love to come out of India and come to Little Bethlehem and come out of Africa and the different places. They want to come. People out of Belize want to come to Little Bethlehem. It's a real treat to be able to come and fellowship the people of God. You love Jesus? He's good. Isn't he good? None good but God. We want to sing another chorus or two. I haven't held you very long tonight. I was late coming, so I didn't preach very long. I just kind of had a little sermon ed, and I thought I would kind of bring a little backing and a little substantiation from the early morning message. Let's sing another chorus together. We sing that little chorus that I wrote, I don't want your gold and silver. Let's sing that together, can we? I don't want your gold and silver. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus. Oh, to me, he's everything. So we don't want your gold or silver, and we don't want your diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus. Oh, to me, he's everything. One more time. I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want the worldly fame. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me, he's everything. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white.
Now be ready when the bridegroom comes.
The altars are open. Why don't you come down?
I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Or be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be golden spotless white. Now be ready when the bridegroom comes. I am ready for the bridegroom to come. I am ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I am ready for the bridegroom.
Can you sing it again?
And we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. And we're ready for the bridegroom.
Sing it again.
For we're ready for the bridegroom. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. And we're ready.
Can you sing it again with me?
Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. And we're ready.
Sing it one more time.
Oh, we're ready for the Savior to come. Oh, we're ready for our Savior to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. And we're ready for the Savior to come. Well, we're ready for Jesus to come. Well, we're ready for Jesus to come. Be it morning, noon, and night, we're all robed in spotless white. And we're ready for Jesus.
Sing it again.
Oh, we're ready for Jesus to come back. Oh, we're ready for Jesus to come back. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. And we're ready for the Savior.
You want to sing it one more time?
I am ready for the bridegroom to come. I am ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. And I'm ready for
one more time together.
We'll be ready for the bridegroom. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bride.
Can you give the Lord a hand? Somebody say praise the Lord. I can tell the way these little ones look at me up here that they're ready for him to come too. I believe they believe in this Brother Jerry just as much as we do. Them little hearts look up here. One more time, let's sing it together, can we?
Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Yes, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Morning and night, gonna be robed in spotless white. And we're ready for the bridegroom to come.
Let's lift our hands up together, can we? We're ready for the bridegroom to come. I really believe that. I really believe that. While you've got your eyes closed, and while your hands are lifted up, I want to sing one more song as a closing song with your eyes closed and your hands lifted. Can we do that? Give me a key. Let's sing, Time Shall Be No More.
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. for the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. You know what? If we keep on moving into the Lord, keep on being sincere with God and believing what the minister says, what the Word of God says, you know, it may be shocking how many of you will make it into the kingdom of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every person at Bethlehem made it in? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful that not one of us was missing when we got up there? That would be so wonderful. My, we're having a good time down here. Think what a time we'd have up there. Let's sing that again. Can we? Can we sing that one more time? And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time, just one more time. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. The Bible said, in the fullness of time, He sent forth His Son, and that was at Calvary. So then we're living in the fullness of time. We are living in the fullness of time. Let's just slip our hands up, close our eyes. We're living in the fullness of time. God is so wonderful. He's so wonderful. Always leading and guiding us, always helping us. We feel the loving presence of God and the wonderful things of God, and it makes us just want to keep on keeping on doing something for Jesus. Isn't that right? I'm going to ask Brother Steve to come up and dismiss us, if he will. And if Steve comes to pray with us, Brother Steve Nunez, as he comes to pray with us, let's think about God tonight. They sang the song this morning. What was the name of the song, Steve? Worthy. Lord, You're worthy. It's so beautiful as the three of them sing that song this morning. We got it on video, and it was so beautiful. They sang such beautiful songs together. And it's so wonderful to know that Jesus has returned into our heart, and that all of us together can love and praise Him as brothers and sisters in Christ and be one glorious family throughout eternity. Not having the problems as we have them today, where one of our children die, or we worry as to one of them being killed, or as to imprisonment, or as to the sadness and sorrows of poverty, and whatever the things are in this world.